Oh, Good. He's mighty and he's strong. He's willing to help each and everybody. We worship him tonight. We give you the glory, Father God. We thank you for what you have done for us. You have saved us from this, the times that we're in, Father God. You are here for us everywhere that we go. We thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you for the people that are here right now. We thank you that you are awesome to them. We thank you that we have a chance to worship you and adore you tonight and listen to your word, and that your spirit will minister to each and every one of us in what we need. And everywhere that we go, that you will be there for us as well. Continue in the name of Jesus. I want to welcome everybody here tonight. Those that are here and those that are on the internet. God is good. I have a little testimony about praying for people. When I'm telling the pastors aren't here tonight, and I want to remind everybody to pray for them, stand for them. When God reminds you of them for some reason or another, just pray for them. I have a testimony of my aunt. God reminded me of. She said one night, God asked her to pray for her niece. And so she did. She prayed fervently. She thought there was something very, very bad going, that was going to happen. So she prayed. And then the next day, she comes to church and she gives her testimony. God asked me to pray. But I don't know what happened. Nothing happened. I don't know why I was praying. And then, you know what the answer was? She prayed so that nothing would happen. We don't know what could have happened. So when God instructs you or puts somebody in your mind, just say a small prayer. And you know what? You're doing God's will. It's the same with our pastor. They're not here. Just a little prayer every once in a while. Or in your devotions, make sure you put them in there. Every now and then. They need your prayer. They're not here. They're close to us, but Spirit, we're close to them. There's no distance in Spirit. They might be 3,000-4,000 miles away. I don't know how far they are. But the Spirit is close. So just stand for God. Stand with Him. Believe in God. And receive from the Holy Spirit. Everywhere that you go, remember, every step you take, that's holy ground. If that was given to Moses, and you can have it too. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
How hard can that be? Just to let go of the idols of your heart. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning or whenever it is that you're listening. What profit is it that you think you gain in the world and you lose your soul? Everything else is temporary. The job is temporary. The money, the material wealth, and whatever, it's all temporary. Do you believe that God can bless you? Or do you have to connive and do crazy things? And say, I still love God. Hey, Jesus, glory to God. God is not very impressed by that mess. He wants you to love Him with all of your heart. He wants me to love Him with all of my heart. He's not impressed by all that nonsense. What is it that we need to do? Psalm 119 and verse 11 make a declaration to us. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've stuffed myself with the word so I don't sin against you. In essence, if the word of God is not there, you're going to sin. Period. Well, I'm praying a lot. What are you praying? Do you have the word of God in there? Are you praying the word of God, or you just spewing out some words? The Lord Jesus Christ, being tempted, said, it is written. That's the most effective prayer and word that you can declare. It is written. The word of God says this. The word of God says this. The word of God says this. You proclaim the word of God. That's how your heart, my heart, is sustained. It's not sustained by positive thinking. Being positive is a good thing. That's not going to have any effect on the devil. I tell you what, the devil is more positive than you can ever be. So what do you mean? Well, he thinks that he's going to win. And he's thrown into the into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, comes out and keeps on doing the same old thing he was doing because he still thinks he's going to win. Even after he's been beat at the cross, beat and the keys of death and grave have been snatched away from him, he's still running around, torn throat, thinking that he will still win. Don't talk to me about positive. You can be more positive than that. Even though his positivity is negativity, he believes in it. Bible says the devil believes in God and trembles. Huh? Does he change? No. So when we know the truth and we refuse to change, whose child are you? See, the devil is not just a liar because he lies. He's a liar because he believes that he can win when certainly the truth is that God wins. And when you think, when we think that we can live a godly life by living in sin and marrying ourselves away to these idols, we're trying to make God a liar. God would never be a liar. The message of God's grace is not a message to sin. If it were so, there would be no passage of Scripture like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Well, I got needs. Okay? Got needs. And it doesn't matter which way you push it. A fornicator is a fornicator. Nor idolaters. Ah. Nor adulterers. Ah. Nor effeminate. Effeminate? Yeah. It's right there. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuality right there. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Go change the scripture now. Go for it. Go for it. Well, it's not politically correct. Shove your political correct where darkness abides and light doesn't shine. The devil's a liar. The word of God is the word of God. And when you don't embrace the word of God, then you have a whole house of God filled with fornicators and adulterers and all kinds of mess, because the truth of the word of God is not preached. Idols of the heart. I'm not going to have any idols, because I tell you what, your vote does not get me into heaven. What the word of God says is what gets me in. And I'm not going to betray my soul and not speak the truth of God's word because you're going to get upset. Keep your tithe. Keep your whatever it is that you think you've got. Keep it. Don't want to come to church? Bye. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. The word of God is the word of God. It doesn't change. And I'm not going to change it for you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do I get rid of these idols of the heart? By first of all acknowledging the word of God. Acknowledge the word of God. How do you do that? Obey it. In 2 Kings chapter 23. This is a long read, but I need to do this. 2 Kings 23. Watch this. You see, a man of God, the king Joash, read the word of God and says, hey, we've got to change some things here. Come on. We've got to change some things here. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears, all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. House of the Lord has been shut out. And this man of God, a king, picked up that word and began to read. And the king stood by a pillar. I thank God for that. He stood by a pillar. And made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. I pray that that is exactly what we are all going to do, that we'll stand with the covenant. This is the year of the establishment of the covenant of God. Not only God doing his part, we are going to do our part. And we're going to say, God, I'm with you. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Can you imagine? In the temple of God were vessels made for a foreign god, for Baal. And for the grove, and for the host of heaven. They were in the temple of God and worshiping the host of heaven, the stars, the moon, and everything else. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. He carried the ashes of all this. Carried it to Bethel. Where's Bethel? Bethel's the house of God. And saying, God, we took care of this. Here, this is a proof. And he put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah. That's what the enemy wants to do in our land. Have priests and ministers that follow the mandate of the government rather than the mandate of God. Not in this house. And in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burnt incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. You know, it's incredible to me how people don't just surrender their hearts and just believe in God. Look, it talks about the sun and the moon, that we can see. With our natural eyes, we can see those. But to the planets, the Word of God talks about planets, and to all the host of heaven. Verse 6, they were worshiping all these things. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord. They built a grove in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? Without Jerusalem, unto the brook of Kidron, and burned it at the brook of Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites. This one here, I need to stop for a moment. Because the word here is the word Kadash. It's the same word for holiness or for something that is sacred, that word Sodomites. Now, what was it that, why is that word used there? You know what a Sodomite is. These were male prostitutes that sodomized themselves in the temple. And around the temple, what are they doing? To feed on a spiritual power. I remember many years ago, Mama, about 10 or so years ago, the Lord said to me, he said, son, some of my churches that are mega churches, I said, you look at it, you say, that's a mega church, that's my church. He said, it's not my church. I said, why do you say that? He said, because those men that are leaders in there have given themselves to homosexuality. That's how they grew their churches. I said, what? What are you saying? He said, and I'm going to show you some of them. I'm going to expose some of them. And this morning the Lord said to me, he says, I'm about to expose them big time. There are people that God is going to flush out. Flush them out. Flush them out. Because the church of Jesus Christ has to be a church without blemish or wrinkles or spots. He's coming for a bride. We're living in a time when people are just embracing everything and anything. It's grace. It's grace. No, that's not grace. Grace is the power of God operating in my life, operating in your life, so that you and I can live the godly life. They had houses of sodomites. Sodomites in the choir. Sodomites in the pulpit. Sodomites wherever they are. God is coming for you. When you start getting rotten, oh my God. The key word is repent. Because there are things that are going to happen in the days to come that are going to be so gross, I cannot even talk about them because I can see it right now. And God is calling every one of us to repentance. Everybody, repent. Have the word of God inside of you. Stop listening to garbage. Not every spirit is the spirit of God. Not everything that you see is operating under the auspices of the goodness of God. There are some things that are operating by fairy spirit. You heard that right? A fairy spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. And these are not angels of God. Demonic spirits. It says that where by the house, they were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Oh. Joash went after them. God is going to clean house. And he's going to use men and women of God with the boldness of God who have sold themselves out to God to begin to clean house, to expose things in the mighty name of Jesus. The true word of grace shall be proclaimed. You cannot be committing adultery all over the place, kicking one wife out, marrying another, and then marrying another. You've got more wives than a tree has leaves. But you're in the pulpit. You have this year to repent. And if you don't, you're about to be exposed. And brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled, he defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. In other words, he declared them unclean. From Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gates of Joshua, the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Let's go. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Tophet. Tophet is a place of burning, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. As a spirit that destroyed little ones, burnt their little ones, because they're sending them to Molech. And he took away the horses. I like this. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. Huh? That's what shaking your head off. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. At the entering in of the house of the Lord. What? I don't have time to go in details on this particular aspect because this is going to take me another hour. So I'm just going to breeze through. But notice the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. The sun here, it's not the S-O-N, it's the S-U-N. This is the worship of the S-U-N. And this is horses or chariots. This is a method of mobility. I gave them speed. This is false grace. Are you with me? He got rid of that, the false message, not the true message of grace, not the true message of what God wants, the falsity, he got rid of it by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. Let the fire of God fall and begin to consume all of the systems that have been put in place to give that which is not of God speed. a false power, a false, you know, when you talk about an engine, you talk about horsepower. Is that what we do? We talk about the horsepower. That's the amount of power. Your horsepower is burnt up. Your engine has knocked. It's crashed. You got the message? Your engine has knocked. You're not going nowhere. You are not going to deceive the sons and daughters of the Most High God anymore. God has had enough of it. Verse 12. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, they made it. And the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the Holy of Holies and the holy place, they had basically, from the beginning, just messed up everything. Did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them onto the brook of Kidron? And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. There's a Mount of Corruption. Which Solomon, watch this, which Solomon, he's supposed to be the wise king, but because his heart was sold out and he clave to these strange women who led his heart away from God, he built up a corrupt mountain. Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile, he declared it unclean. I declare that God will raise up men and women of God who will declare the truth and declare what is wrong in their house. We cannot coexist with that which is not of God. It has to be cleared out, removed. 14. And he broke in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Wow. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. 16. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied. That's an interesting word. He spied. Where's that? He looked at the sepulchers. Those are the traditional systems that have been in place that were not of God. He says that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. And verse 17, then he said, what title is that that I see? He saw one. So what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." Who is this prophet, this man of God? This is the man of God that God sent right there to declare the word of God and told him, "Don't go back the same way you came. Just keep on going. Full circle, go back home." And said, "Don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything. Just go home. Prophesy and leave." But while he was leaving, an old prophet came and told him, "You've done the will of God." He'd not completed the assignment. He said, "You've done the will of God. It's okay now. You can come home. Come back and eat. You cannot just keep on going. Come eat at my house." So he went and followed the old prophet. Let me tell you something. Listen, child of God, be very careful what old prophet you are following. Know God. Have a personal relationship with God. The God who told you to go in a particular direction, did he say something else to you? If God started out talking to you about a particular issue, he knows how to complete the conversation. So before you start listening to something else, be careful. So he goes back and ate with this old prophet, and while they were busy eating, the old prophet began to prophesy and told him, "You did not complete your assignment. You did not listen to God. You're going to die. An animal, a lion, is going to kill you." And he sent him on his way, and sure enough, a lion came and killed him, but didn't eat his body. And they took his body back there, and they had this sepulcher for him, and they put the name, or rather the message about this man of God which came from Judah. And Joash saw it and said, "Who is that? What's that?" He says, "This man." And he said, "Leave his body. Don't mess with his body. Don't. Just, you may have messed up, but I know that man is a man of God." And everything that man prophesied was what he was living out. 18. Let me do this quickly. Verse 18. And he said, "Let him alone. Let no man move his bones." So they left his bone alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord. They made it to provoke the Lord to anger. Joash took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. He made those houses desolate. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God." Keep the Passover. Remember the blood. The blood that will never lose its power. Remember the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. So, first thing, getting rid of the idols of our heart is that we embrace the word of God. When Josiah, or Joash rather, embraced the word of God, he began to get rid of the idols, everything that was wrong. My prayer today is that God will help every one of us identify those idols so we can get rid of them. We need to recognize what is holy. Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. I encourage you to keep on reading Ezekiel 23. Chapter 1 right through, but for interest of time, Ezekiel 22:6, we need to identify what is pure and holy and walk in it. He says, our priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I'm profaned among them. It is the role of the priest to show to people what the right thing is and what the wrong thing is. The things I've said to us today that you dare not say in some churches. How dare you talk about shacking up? There are people sitting in churches that are shacking up. They're not legally married. There are people sitting in our churches whose eyes are stuck on pornography, and they won't change. They won't repent. They won't turn away from that evil. And you're burning with lust in your mind. What do you expect? You're busy watching whatever it is that you're watching. What do you expect? You're there undressing everybody, male and female. It doesn't matter anymore. Sexual immorality is wrong. But in church, let's live and let's be. God saved you from something to be something. Make a decision. Is eternal life a real thing? Is God real? Is salvation a real thing? If it is, then God is calling for repentance. He's not judging and saying, oh, to hell with you. No, 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 no. He's saying, repent. I am here for you. I understand. I will help you. He's calling out to us. God came to Solomon twice. God showed up personally and spoke to him. Did he turn away from his evil? No. He just continued. As if God wasn't that important. God tells us, turn. Still asking for repentance. I trust that you're hearing. We must recognize that which is holy, that which is true. And this third point is in that particular passage we just read from in Ezekiel 22 and 26. The last part of it says, hid your eyes from my Sabbaths. Let's go to Isaiah 58, verse 13 through 14. What is the importance of this? This is in believing God. Sabbath rest is about believing God. Sabbath rest is about resting. And wherever it is that you and I are not resting, we establish God's. If you are not resting in God concerning your finances, then you're going to be doing five jobs. Say, well, I'm not doing that much. I might be okay. What about two? When you can believe God for one, you're doing two jobs, and now you don't have time for yourself. You don't have time for your family. You don't have time for God. You don't have time for anything. Because you think that's your source. He says, if thou turn away, listen, this is about the fast of God. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from this Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, speaking thine own words, speaking thine own words, speaking thine own words. Why are you not speaking thine own words? Because you have filled yourself with the word of God. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You're going to delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride, wow, upon the high places of the earth. I'm going to cause you to ride. When you rest, when you honor that rest of God, and you don't build up your own idols, when you rest, he says, I'm going to cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Hallelujah. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now we'll revert back to where we started in Proverbs 4 and verse 20. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I believe that the word of God to us today is to help us become all that God intends for us to be. That is to be head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. I trust that you've received the word of God. And as you've received it, that your life, my life, our lives, individually and corporately, is forever changed. We exalt our God and declare his kingdom come and his will done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Let us repent.
Hallelujah. Praise God for that word. Let's just finish this off with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for Apostle and Mom. We lift them up to you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them, that your grace is upon them, that you surround them, Father, with peace. Father, that they are at rest in your presence. God, we thank you for this word. We just ask, Lord, that you would make clear to us any idols in our heart, anything that is hiding, Father God, in us, Lord, that needs to come to light, Father God, Lord, that would hinder your blessing coming into our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would make it clear to us, Father God, and Lord, that we'd be completely willing to repent and to just... We are willing to repent, Father God, and to get rid of any garbage, Lord, that would hinder what you want to do through us, Father God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a great hunger for your word like never before. Thank you, Lord, that you are setting your church on fire, Father God, in these last days. And thank you, Father, that our mouths are filled with your word and we are led by your spirit. And we speak boldly, Father God, in your house and wherever we are, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you are leading us each day, God. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I encourage everyone online, everyone here, just to sow into the word. You heard a good word this evening. Put your seed in it. This is good ground. And sow into it. So God bless you. Have a good evening.